Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of the Morning Mulligans podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Dibble.
And I'm Todd McGill.
Welcome, everybody. We are so excited to finally make this public for you all. We've been doing practice episodes for the last 5 weeks, just looking forward to our release date. In fact, our release date was going to be the WGC, but we decided to move it up all the way up to the Waste Management Phoenix Open coming this Tuesday. But again, we are just so excited to be doing this. We've been wanting to do this for a long time, and we couldn't be happier that we finally made it to the launch date. Generally, with the show, we will start off with the recap of golf news from the previous week, and then talk about our picks from the previous week, and then we'll jump into this week's tournament, which, like I said, is the Waste Management Phoenix Open. But before we jump in, let's talk about the recap. Todd, where do you want to start on the recap?
Yeah, I guess we should just dive right into the controversy. Patrick Reed won by 5 shots at 14 under par over Victor Hovland and others at 9.
So many at 9.
Oh, yeah, 5 or 6 guys.
Yeah.
Basically, if you watched any of it, you kind of already know where this is going.
Yep.
Patrick had a very bad rules controversy, as what seems to follow him kind of has been his trend.
He's a blatant cheater.
It's kind of seeing that way. He's starting to build a resume.
Yeah. With this week, I don't know if this week's necessarily blatant cheating, like the hero.
Yeah, it wasn't the hero. I don't think he handled it the right way. And if you listen to especially his peers on tour.
No, they're not.
And the people on Golf Channel.
Well, everybody's fed up with him.
Yeah.
Everybody's done. The Golf Channel is done. CBS is done. His colleagues are done. Everybody's done. They're sick of him. It's just because he keeps doing this crap, and the reason everybody's even more tired of it is because he doesn't care that he's doing it. He does not care any means. Because in his mind, he's completely in the right, which I guarantee you. Like, he doesn't actually think that. He's just putting on a show.
Well, see, here's what I noticed being the problem. So, when you have an embedded ball situation, just like he said, according to the rules officials, he handled it correctly.
Right.
The problem was he called in a rules official midway through his procedure of how he handled it.
He didn't start with it, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it especially with the reputation that he has, it made it look so much worse. I know, Rory also did the same or had a similar incident.
Rory's so reliable with the rules.
He's never had this.
He's on the rules committee now. He's on it. Yeah, he's signed up to be on it. He's literally on it now.
Okay, I didn't even know
or
that.
At least he said he wants to be on it.
But, I mean, you know, whenever you take both of those players, Rory's, in his post-round interview, he's just like, I swear on everything, my ball was embedded.
Yeah, well.
And then Patrick turns around in his, and he goes, well, everybody knows if the ball bounces, there's literally no way it
can his
plug.
Ball bounced higher than Rory's did.
Right.
It's just, no. Patrick Reed, whether he was going to win the tournament or not, that should have been called. I'm not happy about it. He might have won the tournament even if he did get that ruling, the penalty for it. But still, he won in an awful way, and everyone is tired of it.
Yeah.
Everyone. But
we also had another thing. If we had Carlos Ortiz.
The meltdown.
Yeah, he was tied for the lead going into the final day and shot a final round 78 plus 6 to finish at T29.
I've watched
that
him
man was
play
in a
some.
Bunker almost every time the camera was on.
Yeah,
that
no, like Sunday. Literally, he was in a bunker almost every single hole. I mean, he just played terrible golf his last day, and he's not a bad golfer. He's finished in the top 35 his last 2 weeks. I mean, his 3 weeks. He's not playing bad, but I mean, my lord, that last round that he had was just bad.
I think he was like 0-6 or 0-5 in bunkers for the final round.
I don't know where his game at is going to stand because he's in the field this week.
Yeah.
And I don't know where his game is going to stand at for this week, but it was honestly – it was kind of hard to watch. It's because you kind of felt bad for the guy.
Yeah, it's like nothing he could do. Yeah. He was in a bunker.
He was trying so hard. He couldn't get up and down from any bunkers. He couldn't hit the ball straight. He couldn't putt worth anything. I mean, he was just playing awful.
Yeah.
And it was really bad to watch. But the other part that I personally wanted to recap was Charlie Hoffman. And nobody's talking about this. It seems that only you and I have an opinion on this.
Well, I think it's because we've put him in our lineup and got burned by him.
Yeah, well, okay, so the last 2 weeks, Charlie Hoffman has been in the field. Charlie Hoffman in the American Express was 8-under going into the weekend. He was up there, like top 10.
Yeah.
He was up there. And he withdrew that Saturday because of back issues. That's fine. You withdraw. That's fine. The next week, he's back in the field again. And then he withdraws again.
Yeah.
I just think if you know you have something as severe as a back issue, then you should
give
play.
It a rest.
Yeah, because the reason I'm so upset about it, and Todd too, is just because if you really think you have a good chance of withdrawing, then don't play, because you're taking that spot away from somebody that could really use the money or try to make a name for themselves.
Right.
Charlie Hoffman, you have plenty of money. You don't need to keep it going. Try to muscle your way through with your back. Just stop. And he's in the field again this week.
Yeah.
He's going to withdraw again.
I mean, if it goes to three straight WDs, like, what do you – I mean,
that's
the PJ Tour has got to be like, bro, just calm down.
That's the thing I was trying to say
bit.
Earlier with you is on the Corn Ferry, if you withdraw too many times, I don't know if it's in a row or it's in a season, but you get a suspension. And so I don't know if the PJ Tour does that or not, but I sure hope they do, because this is just – it's just annoying. And like I said, nobody's really talking about it besides us, because we've played him a few times and he's burnt us.
Right.
But still, he's taking alternate spots away from these guys that could really – try to make a name for himself or just get a paycheck.
Yep.
And I mean, the tour life is not easy.
Right. And I guess I'll throw a Hoffman in a similar situation or similar boat as Reed. Uh-huh. As in, both of these guys, especially last week, you know, with FanDuel being legal and all this betting stuff happening
right.
last year and this year, every shot matters more to just more than the player now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it matters to people thousands of miles away that's putting money on these guys.
100%.
And, you know, you got what Patrick Reed did. If he doesn't win the tournament because if he goes on to do an illegal drop, finishes his round, he signs an incorrect scorecard, he is disqualified.
Yep, yep. No, there's so many more factors that go into it now. It's just
– I mean, it's – yeah, it's not – it's – golf is a game – you know, and it's by yourself.
Yeah.
It's a lonely game, but with all of this, you know, technology and everything, it's not as lonely anymore. And
no.
There's so many people that's putting money on golfers anymore.
Even the Golf Channel has their own betting segments now.
Yeah.
The Golf Channel's doing it.
Yeah.
Patrick Reed's in the wrong. He's in the wrong with that. I don't think Charlie Hoffman's necessarily in the wrong, but it's a wake-up call. Like, come on. Like, be considerate. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And besides, if you know you're in bad shape, then why are you trying to play through it? Just take a break. It's the beginning of the season. Take a freaking break.
Yeah.
And just go on.
Yeah.
I understand that some of the courses that he has played, he's played well at before, but he's played well at other places too. He usually plays well in the Masters.
Yeah.
Take a break till the Masters. That's a good – any of the players. He plays good in the players too.
I mean, just don't force it.
Yeah.
If he's feeling up to it, then fine. But, I mean – like you said, if he shows up this week, WDs, that's literally three straight weeks.
Oh, I'm going to be livid if he WDs. He's not in
I mean,
any
I'm
my
not
lineups.
Putting any money
no, he's
on
not
him.
In any of my lineups, but I'm just going to be livid. If I was the alternate guy, I'd be mad.
Yeah.
I'd be very mad.
Yeah.
But, Jeff, we'll talk about some of our picks that we made last week. I had a really good week last week. It was finished. I had four teams, three teams finished in the money, three of them finished in the top 1,000. That was out of 25,500 people. So pretty nice. The week before that, I did really well too. But some of the guys – now, we mentioned Patrick Reed last week, but we didn't put him in any lineups. And I'm still upset that he won, but it's fine. But some of the guys that we had last week were John Rahm, tied seventh. A sneaky pick that we had was Lanto Griffin, tied seventh. He was 3% ownership. I mean, he was below. And when you got someone that's 3% ownership and they play tied seventh, you are skyrocketing at top of the leaderboard.
Yeah.
It was great to see. Max Homa we had tied 18th. Cam Davis, I personally was super high on Cam Davis last week. He tied 32nd, not my greatest pick. But my one pick, and we'll probably come out with a snippet of it eventually. my Torrey Pines pick, I literally said in the practice episode, Ryan Palmer is going to be runner-up to this tournament. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Tied second, Ryan Palmer was runner-up. You love to see it. He won me some money. We had Mark Leishman tied 18th, Tony Finau tied second. Some of the guys that we did have missed the cut, Russell Knox, Harris English, Bubba Watson, and Matt Wolf. You were huge on Matt Wolf last week.
Yeah, Matthew Wolf was a very big letdown. He said that his wrist was hurting.
He's just playing awful.
I seen him hit two wedge shots. One was like a little up and down that he hit, and it made it like halfway up the slope
right.
and rolled back to his feet. The other one is, I'm pretty sure, is on 18 that he hit this like little low.
Little beamer?
Yeah, like a shot that's just going to take one hop, take a massive jump. Stop on a dime,
right back, yeah.
And it just did it. I mean, it just sailed the green. I mean, he was. I don't know what it was, but I'm not saying that it was a wrist. I don't think.
Well, you just look at it. We've talked about him before. He's just got that whippy swing, and it's worked for him in the past. But like I said, I think he's going to be kind of a Jim Furyk.
Yeah.
He and probably like 10 years from now, Matt Wolf might be a maybe not a force, but he'll be contending more. I don't really like him right now. He's just not good enough for me right now. But you also had Gary Woodland. Gary Woodland tied 48th, not bad. And then we had Doug Gim, who Doug Gim was very low ownership, and he was up there, and he was tied 37th.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
Yeah. But overall, we had a really good week last week. It was Torrey Pines, which is a super exciting course to watch, especially since it's going to be the U.S. Open this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody's talking about, well, Patrick Reed, you know, the last time the person won the Farmers Insurance and then won in the U.S. Open, they did it both in the same year, Tiger Woods. Patrick Reed is no Tiger Woods.
No.
And by the time we get to the U.S. Open, we might have more fans by that time.
Well, just think of how many people didn't play this week.
Well, also, when we have more fans and Patrick Reed comes back to Torrey Pines, you're done. He's going to get booed. I hope there are tons of fans here this week. I know there's going to be some. There's not going to be much. I hope he gets booed on every hole.
Is he playing this week?
I mean, not this week. Sorry. Lost my train of thought where he was going to be. But I just hope he gets booed.
Oh, I'm sure
he deserves it.
Well, after the hero, I'm pretty sure.
Lanto Griffin lit him up.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that would bother me the most is that my peers aren't happy with the way I've been conducting myself.
They haven't been happy
either.
With him before, and now they're all just like, okay, like we gave you one more chance, now you're done.
Yeah.
But you got anything else to recap?
No, I believe that's it.
I think we talked enough about Patrick Reed. Just get everybody else is talking about him.
Yeah.
So we'll move on. But – this week is super exciting because it's the greenest show on grass. It is the Waste Management Phoenix Open at TPC Scottsdale. I love this tournament. It's so much fun. I had a lot of fun talking and watching last week's tournament, but this one's fun. We are so excited. This is our launch episode. This is going to be a fun week. TPC Scottsdale is 7,266 yards. It's a par 71. And we were looking into the grass. It's Bermuda grass, but technically the greens are called Tifdorf grass, and they're comparable to bent greens. It's a type of Bermuda, but it's a more of a bent green-esque grass.
Yeah, not a lot of grain.
Yeah, so, but that's usually some of the things we jump into. We always talk about the grass here, and we sometimes talk about the sizes of the greens, fairways, tees, and rough. The rough here is not necessarily thick. It's just kind of your normal rough. And what was the thing you were telling me earlier about when the ball sometimes falls down?
Yeah, so when I was doing my research, the things I noticed the most, and this is always a tournament I watch every year.
Oh yeah,
because it is so exciting. It's going to be a lot different this year with I think 5,000 fans per day.
Yeah,
that stadium hole is just not going to feel the same.
No.
But around these greens, you'll notice that there's a lot of drop offs and a lot of collection areas where the grass gets really thin. You got to have a lot of imagination.
Oh, yeah.
As we've seen last year, if you watched last year's winner, Webb Simpson, he hit a lot of putts off the green.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're not going to have just standard up and downs here.
Oh, yeah. It's speedy, and it's out.
And it gets hard and firm.
It's hot and dry out there. I mean, it can be some really fun golf to watch, but it can be brutal for those players sometimes. Yeah.
I think this is going to be the first taste of 2021 of a really firm, hard golf course.
I think you're right. It's going to be really exciting. Well, we just kind of gave you all a course overview. Now we jump into our tiers. How we do things here, we do a tier breakdown of tier A, B, C, and D. We run every single thing that we do here is run through FanDuel. Mm-hmm. We run FanDuel DFS along with FanDuel Sportsbook. This week, Tier A is going to be the player, the number one player of the week, of the top of the salary board on FanDuel, is $12,000. And we do our Tier A from $12,000 to $10,000. Tier B will be $9,900 to $9,000. Tier C, $8,900 to $8,000. And then Tier D, $7,900 to $7,000. We do this just so everybody can kind of get a good feeling of where everybody's looking at. And plus, you get $60,000 to spend on FanDuel. You need to. You can't just go and buy all of Tier A guys.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Right.
But we're going to kick it right off on Tier A. I'm going to let you start. My Tier A is somewhat tiny this week.
See, I feel like this is as heavy as I've went on Tier A.
My Tier C is huge. My 8.9 to 8,000, the lower end of the guys, is really big. Even though I'm only going to play like one or two of them, but I think a lot of these, I think it's going to be a fun week. I think a lot of these guys have a chance.
Right.
But start us off with Tier A.
Okay. So as you guys will listen to us, the things you'll notice the most is I'm more of a stats guy. I'll see how everybody's doing. You know, like this week, strokes gained approach is usually always something I look for. But this week, strokes gained off the tee. You know, you don't have to really hit it.
It's not a bomber course.
No, I mean, we've seen just about every type of player win this golf tournament.
Oh, yeah.
So strokes gained off the tee is a lot more important to me than how far you're hitting it.
Okay.
And also greens in regulation, as I said, the collection areas on the sides of the greens, hitting greens here has proven to be a little more successful than most places on tour. And strokes gained putting also, you know, normally if you're making putts, you're winning tournaments. That's just kind of how it goes. So starting off for me at Tier A, you know, my notables, Rory and JT.
JT? This is his first tournament back since the homophobic slur incident.
I know. That's why I'm just mentioning him, just because I'm interested in
– He plays well here all the time.
He does.
Tied third last year, and the year before that, I'm pretty sure he tied third also.
Right. I mean, I know the ownership –
Solo third in 2019.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much – I know the ownership is going to be high.
You think?
I think so.
I think it'll be probably 30%.
I think people's going to see, you know, he hasn't finished outside of the top five here the last 2 years.
Yeah. He's had a lot of time off.
Rory is one I'm also interested in because he's making his first tournament debut.
Yeah.
This course. So
it's kind of shocking. He's never really been here.
I know. And I don't know if this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing because
he played okay last week.
Yeah.
He just had a bad final round.
Right. And I'm curious to see whether or not it hurts him or helps him, the fact that he hasn't seen this golf course for multiple years.
I know. It might be a lot of fun for him.
Because I've heard of guys that like playing – they play good at places they've never seen before.
Yeah, well, because they're not so dialed into their book and stuff every time.
Correct.
I mean, even if they won there before, they're like, okay, well, I've hit it here last time, I hit it here. Well, just because he did that, I mean, 3 or 4 years later, it's going to change.
Right. And if Rory dives into his greens book I don't know, because he doesn't make a whole lot of putts right now. So I'm kind of – that's why I'm interested to see how he does. I'm thinking he might get the putter going.
Okay. A prime example of that diving into the book too much, I think, is Jason Day.
Yeah, he's
pretty bad. Jason Day used to be a force. I mean, he was almost up there every time. I'm not saying he's not anymore. Like last week at Torrey Pines, he's won there before, and he missed a cut last week.
Right.
And I just – I don't know. I think
Friday's weather kind of –
Oh, Fridays were brutal last week.
So, yeah, I mean, some of the guys that missed the cut, you know, you look, they were 2 or 3 under on the first round, fine, and then 6 or 7 over on Friday, especially if they had to play the South course.
Yeah. Well, some of the guys took advantage, like Peter Malnati last week.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, I think he was 5 under on the rainy day.
Wow.
I mean, he was lighting it up. But so you like Rory and JT right now?
I've got them as mentions. The guy that I'm really playing heavy, starting off my teams with, is Daniel Berger.
I have him as well.
11,100.
Yeah.
He tied 9th here last year. He's 6th in birdie average right now. And, you know, you look at years past, mid to high teens under par usually wins.
Daniel Berger's a fantastic player.
He is. And generally, I think he's playing the best he's played of his career.
What, really?
He got it going kind of hot at the restart last year.
And
he's kind of just kept it going.
I mean, he plays well here. He was 9th last year. In 2018, he was 11th.
Yeah.
He's playing well so far this season.
He's 25th in strokes gained putting. And then on the advanced stats that I looked up, on firm and fast greens, he's actually 4th in strokes gained. Yeah, I know. He's actually 4th in strokes gained putting over the last 24 rounds.
Wow. Okay.
On firm and fast greens.
Dang.
So if it plays like it normally was.
He might get a win this week.
I think so. I think it's a good possibility.
Are you calling for the Daniel Berger win? I called for the Cam Davis and Ryan Palmer runner-up last week.
I'm going to call for a top five.
You called for a Daniel Berger top five. Okay, yep. That's fair. That's one thing that we really like that we do at the show is Todd dives into a lot of the analytics of the players. He dives into the stats and everything, which makes it really diverse what we do here because Todd dives into all of that while I – dive into course
big course comparison guy.
Yeah, big course comparison guy. I always take a course that I see players that have played there before, and if they played there, that because this course will usually match up to this week. So I do the best comparison I can as in grass and the type of weather and the yardage, everything. And this week, my course comparison was PGA West, the American Express.
2 weeks ago?
Yes, 2 weeks ago. I really like it. The PGA West is only 40 yards longer than TPC Scottsdale. It's not necessarily the same area, but pretty much same weather.
Mm-hmm.
The TPC Scottsdale is a little more dry.
Right.
But it's same grass. There's not the TIF dwarf grass here, but PGA West is completely Bermuda. It is a par 72, but when you look at the style of the course and the people who built the course, they have all the same styles. Mm-hmm. I mean, these two courses are very similar in my opinion. So I'm really a big fan of my big course comparison this week, which is why my number one guy this week who's going to be super high on ownership is John Rahm. John Rahm last week was 37.4 ownership.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, he was up there. That might be like a record.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't finish top five, you don't want him.
Oh, so that's the thing. John Rahm in 2020 he at the Phoenix Open was ninth. In 2019, he was 10th. And in 2018, he was 11th. So he's gotten better every time between those 3 years. I think this year, I think John Rahm's playing pretty good golf right now, except for his last round at Torrey Pines. But if you look at my PGA West comparison, John Rahm won the American Express in 2018. So I think he really likes these type of courses. I think he's having a good time right now with the course, like how he's playing. I think John Rahm gets you a top five for sure, which he needs to be because he's the number one expensive guy on the list this week. He's 12,000.
Yeah. I'm just curious as to how long it's really going to take him to get used to his club change.
Yeah. I mean, he's still finishing great with some things, but, I mean, I don't know. I could see John Rahm a top five. I really could.
Yeah.
I think he gets up there. But we both had Daniel Berger. That's one thing. Daniel Berger might win this tournament. He might do it. But another guy that I have is last year's champion, Webb Simpson.
Same. I got him.
You can't not mention him. Webb Simpson's playing.
He's kind of under the radar right now.
Yeah, he kind of seems like he is. He's playing great golf still.
Yeah.
He's played great the two tournaments that he's been in this year.
Yeah, he's taken a couple of weeks off, I think, since the Sony.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's doing great. And he won this tournament last year. A year before that, he finished tied 20th. Not the best, but he won it last year. So, and he's playing great. He's one of the best iron players on tour. I mean, he's just fantastic.
Yeah, good iron player, good wedge player.
Yeah, I really do think Webb Simpson, I don't think he's going to win it again. That'd be awesome if he did. I haven't been in a lineup this week.
Right.
But I definitely think Webb Simpson's a top 10 guy for sure.
Yeah.
And he's 11,300. He's definitely up there on the price tag, but it's definitely worth it.
I think so. I think, you know, I mean, certainly you're not expecting any of these guys to miss the cut.
Oh, gosh, no.
Except for the one I'm about to mention.
I wonder if it's the same one I want to mention.
Gary Woodland.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go back to him.
He's won here before.
He's the cheapest guy in this tier. He's at 10,000.
Wow, kind of underdog.
Gary
Woodland won here in 2018.
Exactly.
Yeah. Never mind. I was going to say he was runner-up. Webb Simpson was runner-up that year, too. But Webb Simpson was runner-up in 2017.
I don't know. I think, like I said on the practice episode that nobody else heard, I think Gary Woodland is a much better player than the way he played last year.
I can agree to that.
He's starting to trend up. You know, he's at least made the last two cuts. He finished, I think, tied 16th.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
This past week, he was like tied 48th, I think, something around there.
Yeah, but he was first round leader.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think maybe second.
Still.
He was very high up there, and then Friday got him just like it got a lot of people.
Right.
But I think if you're looking for a low ownership in this tier, I think Gary Woodland's not a bad place to look.
How much is he again?
He's $10,000. He's the last person in this tier.
That could be a steal. He's won here before.
Yeah.
That could honestly be a steal. That's really not a bad pick by any means. Is he a pick for you? Or is he a mention?
Actually, the lineup that I just made, I have him in there.
Okay. So yeah, so that's some of the things we have picks, and then we have when we say we just want to mention somebody. Usually, that means we think they might do good, I think they might do bad. It's kind of up in the air. But someone that's a mention for me this week is Scottie Scheffler.
Mm.
He doesn't have much course through history here. He's missed the cut here before, but he's not playing bad. He's not playing well by any means, but he's really not playing bad. But when you just look at my PGA West comparison, in 2019 he finished third there, so he is familiar with this style of golf course. I think he'll do well. I could see Scottie Scheffler's 10,500 this week. I could see him going top 15 at the best.
Mm.
That's just kind of what I see. He's not in any of my lineups this week, but I could see him doing well. I could. Who else you got in tier A?
I'm done for tier A.
Really? Yeah. You skipped out on two guys that are in every single one of my lineups this week. my guy right here, Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, you're a big Ricky person.
And I know you're not a big Ricky person.
I just can't get on him.
Okay, well, last year in the Phoenix Open, Ricky tied 37th. Not a great performance. The year before that, he won.
Yeah.
The year before that, tied 11th. And when you use my PGA West comparison, he was tied 21st this year, and the year before that, he was tied 10th. I think Ricky likes this style of golf course, and he loves the Phoenix Open.
Oh, yeah.
He's finished runner-up so many times. I'm pretty sure he's been runner-up three times at this place. He loves this course. I know not necessarily he's playing his best golf right now, but he's not playing his worst golf right now. I think Ricky, at worst, gets you a top 20.
Really?
At worst.
Wow.
I think at best, he gets you a top 10. It's a very small margin of where
I
think he's
going to say, that's
finish.
A tiny window.
But I feel like he's going to do well this year. 10,300. I think his ownership's going to probably be a little higher just because everybody knows he loves this place.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be around the 20% ownership. But, you know, I like him this week. Now, people will learn as they listen to this podcast. I have a selection of golfers that I call my boys. And I have five of them. Well, I'm supposed to have five of them, but the fifth spot is vacant right now. I have four. And this is my number one boy right here, Ryan Palmer.
Yeah, you're always big on
him. I love this guy. I love it. He's 10,100 this week. He's been runner-up in this tournament twice. And he's playing – he honestly might be playing some of the best golf he's ever played in his life right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe besides his, 5 years on tour, which was, 18 years ago.
He's like an older version of Tony Finau. He just can't win, but right. He can finish – he can give you a top five –
but he's got some
week.
Motivation this year from what I'm seeing. Because last year, he played great last year.
Oh, he really wants to make the Ryder Cup.
Exactly. Game. He played great last year. He's been running up in this tournament twice. And his motivation, his goal, he said on TV this year that his goal was Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And if he can snag himself a win here, you're Ryder Cup.
Yeah, he's
100%.
For sure.
He's playing great golf right now. Like I said again, he's runner-up twice. I think I called for the Ryan Palmer runner-up last week.
Calling for it again?
I may call for the Ryan Palmer win this week.
Oh, wow.
I just love this guy. I really think he's going to play well. I can't confidently say he's going to win. I have a single bet on him to win. And it's FanDuel Sportsbook. I put a $5 bet down to win $250. That's a pretty good return.
Yeah.
But I think Ryan Palmer is top five this week. Probably guaranteed.
He just doesn't have the course history, I guess, is the only reason why.
Are you kidding? He's runner up twice.
Well, the last couple of years.
Okay, last couple of years he's missed a cut, but we're not going to talk about that. But he wasn't playing as good. I'm so excited to watch him this week. I just hope he's not burnt out yet because, you know, he's been playing
just by every
He's playing week. A lot, and he's playing really well. But I think he's just really motivated. I think he wants Ryder Cup final. He's 44. And if he can snag a Ryder Cup when he's 44, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be huge.
I would love to see him do well. I think he's in all my lineups, if not three of them. But we'll see. You got anyone else for tier A?
No, I'm done.
All right. We're going to move on to tier B here. That is the 9,900 through 9,000 crowd. Again, we use FanDuel Sportsbook and FanDuel for everything that we do, prices and everything. Start us off with tier B, Todd.
So this is pretty thin, at least for me.
Yeah, I got three guys that I like, and I got two mentions.
Yeah, my two mentions are Sam Burns and Byung-Hun An.
I really don't think Sam Burns is going to play well this week.
As far as I couldn't find any good course history.
I just looked at him with my course comparison, and he played awful at PGA West.
He is playing decently well, though.
Yeah. Does PJ Wesley
both of these
the
guys are
play bad?
Both of these guys are as streaky as they come.
Oh yeah, you just said Byung Hong An, right?
Yeah.
I have him in a lot of my lineups this week. He's actually in my lineups.
He had a T9 here last year and a T20 in 2019.
Mm-hmm. And in PJ West this year, he was 8th.
Right.
I think Byung Hong An is going to play great. I could see a top 10.
Really?
Yeah, he's 9,400. I could genuinely see a top 10 from him.
I mean, he's definitely not one of those guys that I'm looking at.
He's in my lineup.
How his form is. I mean, literally.
He's a risky pick.
Literally, his finishes go like T18, T101st.
I know. It's
T6th, T135.
Yeah,
like,
no,
it is just literally back and forth every single week.
I know. It's bad for sure.
But I think we're both going to have this guy. He was the only person that really jumped out at me in this tier is Max Homa.
Love it. Now,
I'm not sure if he's even playing because he said that
we're so confused
he was going
part,
home.
Because Max Homa tweeted that he was going Homa for a week, which is funny. But he's 9,600 this week, but he's in the field. When he said he's going home, unless he considers his course home, we know where he's from, but he's not from here.
No.
So I don't know. Gosh, I hope he's playing because I have him all of my lineups this week. If he just leaves, I don't see it. Oh, I'm gonna be so mad.
Right. Yeah. He his last three starts: T18, T21, and T12.
Yep. And the PGA this year, he finished tied 21st, and that was only due to a bad round he had at the last day of the PGA.
He literally lost like over 5 strokes.
When I say PGA, I'm talking about PGA West, the American Express, by the way. But he's playing well. He's playing really well this year. I really like him this week. The only thing I'm scared of is that he might not actually be playing.
Yeah. That's literally the only person I have on that tier.
I have, like I said, I have Byung Hong An in a lot of my teams. I have Max Homa in all of my teams. Two of the mentions I have, and I have one guy that I have in a lineup, but nobody's going to like him when I say it. I'll say it at the end.
Okay.
One of my mentions this week is Taylor Gooch.
Oh, the Gooch man.
The Gooch man. We love this guy. Only reason I say that, he's not playing bad. He's not playing great. He has some okay course history here, but he finished tied 21st at PGA West this year. He's 9,100. Just to mention, I think at best he gets you a top 20. At best. Just to mention, he's not in any of my lineups. And another mention I have is Carlos Ortiz.
Wow. We're going to go back to him?
Yeah. So I think he played good golf last week, except for his last round.
I was honestly surprised anybody of his, like, not necessarily caliber, but his style of player was anywhere near that leaderboard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That course did not match up to him by any means.
No.
And last year in the Phoenix Open, he tied 25th.
I mean, yeah, his course history here is not terrible.
I could see Carlos Ortiz getting you a top 25 finish at his best. I don't see him doing any more. I don't know where his mental game's at right now because, I mean, he had an absolute
He looked
breakdown.
Like he was on the verge of, like, a mental breakdown.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he's only mentioned this week. I mean, it's just – it was, like we said earlier.
It was tough to watch.
It was hard to watch. It was just bad. He couldn't get up and down from anywhere. We already said it earlier. It was just bad. That's why he just mentioned this week. He's playing okay. Now, my last guy – do you have anyone else for Tier B?
No.
Okay, my last guy. Nobody's going to agree with me this one, but he's in a lineup for me. He's $9,000. In 2015, he tied 7th. In 2017, he tied 9th. Jordan Spieth. I know it's a bold move because everybody knows Jordan Spieth has dropped off the deep end.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. I literally, on my notes right here, I put in all the reasons why. And at the very end, I said he's still Jordan Spieth.
He can still emerge. Yeah. He can come out of nowhere.
No, I bet that in like a bad way.
Oh.
He's still Jordan Spieth.
He is the new Jordan Spieth.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Not the 2014, 2015 Spieth.
He has great course history here, but it is Jordan Spieth. Now, I watched him on Torrey Pines on his second round. He was 4-under on his 4-under on the day for his second round. He was 7-under at the time. And then he finished it that day, he was 3-over for the day.
Wow.
And it was bad. I mean, he missed a cut.
I just want to see him make a swing that doesn't look like he's coming out of his shoes.
It was just – it's so hard to watch him right now.
It's like, dude, you had so much talent.
Yeah, but
– you have so much talent.
That's the thing. He's been doing the same thing the last 2 years. You know, he plays so well, and then he'll just do something to screw it up. And he could very easily do that here, but – there's not as many places for him to really screw it up here.
Right.
There's not necessarily, like, water sitting every direction. The rough's not, like, super thick. So I think he's going to be able to recover a lot easier here than he would at other courses. So I could definitely see Jordan Spieth making the cut. Jordan Spieth, I mean, it's kind of hard to put him in a spot because I don't know. At his best, sure, he might finish top 10 at the best. At his worst, he missed a cut.
Yeah, so I
don't know. I have him in a lineup this week just because I'm not saying I don't think he's going to do fantastic, but I think the ownership on Spieth is going to be so low.
Yeah.
And he just has that off chance to honestly get a top 10. It's a risky play. I wouldn't depend on him, but I have him in a lineup. And I'm not saying I'm super confident in him, but I could definitely see it happening. At any course that we've seen him so far, it would be this one where he can recover the best and he can get it done.
Right.
I think, personally.
Poor Jordan, man. He's like the new David Duvall.
Oh, God.
Like, he was a world beater. He was literally number one in the world.
Yeah.
Was he two-time Masters champion or almost two times?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, he's
dropped
just
off face
it's crazy to see. It's crazy how this game works sometimes.
It's just happened to some of these players. Jordan Spieth, it hit him like a train.
I'm actually going to mention a guy a little later that pretty much I feel like Jordan Spieth is following in his shoes.
Oh, I know who you're going to talk about. Okay. You got anyone else for Tier B?
Nope.
Okay. We'll jump right into Tier C here. 8,900 to 8,000. I have a lot of players for Tier C. Tier C is the most players I have out of all the other sections. I have seven guys. Two of them are mentions, but seven guys. Start us off, Tier C.
So, my guy starting off is Wyndham Clark.
You were on that guy a couple weeks ago.
He's at $8,700. He's only missed two cuts this season. Fair. Going back to, you know, fall or whatever, he only has two missed cuts. He's 27th in strokes gained off the tee, 24th in strokes gained around the green. He's 4th in driving distance. So, I mean, I know what? I didn't – he hits it a mile.
God,
I mean, I know
you
I didn't
shock me every time you came up with the driving distance stats. I just look at him like, what?
Yeah, I said it's not very important here.
Yeah,
but you know it is.
It's helpful.
Yeah, I think
keep it in the fairway.
Yeah, he's, you know, from the stats that I've seen, his putting is normally his Achilles heel.
Okay,
but these greens aren't as difficult as what we've been looking at last couple of weeks. They're not as sloped. You know, getting to the green might be a little more difficult.
Like you said, the wedge game is important this week.
Right. But once you get putter in your hand, it's not quite as hard as what we've been seeing the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's fair. That's it? That's your first guy right there?
Yeah. Oh, and he does have a T34 here last year, so some course history.
Helpful. I have one guy over here, which I know for a fact he's on your sheets. I'm not going to say him yet. I'll say a different guy. Henrik Norlander is one of my guys this week. He was second last week at Torrey Pines.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I didn't really know much about him until I looked into him, and I saw him on the leaderboard last week. For him to – I know he's a pretty new guy, but he came out and finished second at Torrey Pines, which is a hard golf course, and there were some big names up there with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he really is a good competitor. He's a great player, and if you look at my PGA West comparison, this is Mary's I paid him. He tied 12th this year at PGA West, so – with a tied 12th at PGA West, the American Express this year, along with finishing second at Torrey Pines, was just a brutal golf course. I could see him playing well this week. I could see him possibly getting you a top 15 finish, and he's 8,900. He's not in my lineups, which now that I'm kind of re-looking at this, I might put him in a lineup. But I like him. I didn't really see too much on him, but I think he'll do well here. It's really not the – like you said, it's not the hardest course.
Right.
I mean – guarantee it's not like the lowest scores win here. Like Ricky won with 17 under, Webb Simpson won with 17 under, and the year before that it was 18 under. So I mean, it's not like super low wins here, but that's just because if you can't recover, then you're not going to win.
Yeah,
but
the only thing that kind of hurts these guys down here is, you know, going all the way back to 2010, there hasn't really been any guy except for Kevin Stadler.
Yep.
Well, and I guess maybe Kyle Stanley and Mark Wilson, but you're going back, you know, 2011, 2012 to those guys. But the most, you know, last 5 years, you know, you got Hideki, Gary Woodland, Ricky Fowler, Webb Simpson, Brooks.
It's the big names.
The cream rises to the top
That's because this field's usually packed. I think some of these kind of lower guys might just get intimidated by that. But that's saying, like, when you're coming down and you're looking at the tier C guys, the 8,900 to the 8,000, these guys aren't winners necessarily. Like, they can win, but in tournaments like these, I don't necessarily think they will win. We're just trying to find the low ownership guy that's going to sneak you that top 10 or a top 5, something like that.
Yeah.
Because like I said, last week I had Lanto Griffin, and he was a tier C guy. He was 8,700 last week, and he was 3% ownership, and he finished tied 7th. So that shot me up on the leaderboards.
Right.
It was great. But like you said, I like Henrik Norlander this week. But who else do you like?
So the other person I've got written down is James Hahn.
James Hahn.
He's at $8,200. He's quietly having himself a decent year.
Okay.
He's T25 here last year, 7th in driving accuracy, 17th in greens and regulation.
That's a good one.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, he's a tier C guy, but he's got some stats to say that, you know, he can play with the best of them.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
So, you know, I think, like you said, once you're getting down here, you're not necessarily picking winners. You're just picking top 10, top 15 guys.
Right, right.
And I definitely think James Hahn can give you that.
Okay. Who else do you like? Take another one.
That's all I got in this tier.
What?
Yep.
Golly, I thought you were going to mention your boy at least.
Who?
Chris Kirk.
Oh, I know.
You love that guy.
Yeah.
Todd's big on Chris Kirk, and he just got, like you said, you guys didn't hear our practice episodes before, but that guy just got his tour card secured, and he's on a roll since then. He's 8,900. He's been playing great golf this year, this season. Playing fantastic. He did missed the cut at the Phoenix Open last year. And the year before that, he was tied 50th. But this is hands – if you just look through Chris Kirk's career, this is hands down the best golf he is playing, for sure. I looked deep into his career. He's never played better consistently right now. And this year at PGA West, the American Express, my course comparison this week, finished tied 16th. I could see Chris Kirk getting you a top 20. He's 8,900. Like I said, top 20, probably at the best. Like I said, he's playing great golf right now. It's hard to get rid of him. He's carrying his momentum into every week. As he almost lost his tour card. And now all of a sudden, he's not winning these tournaments. He's been finishing very well in his past tournaments. And he's got some paychecks coming his way. And I think he wants more.
Yeah.
I think he's going to keep going. That's one of my picks. And then I still have four other guys.
go for it. I'm all ears.
Okay, I'll start with my two mentions. It's hard not to mention this guy, Ches Reavy. He hasn't
great
done
course history.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything in a long time. This year at PGA West, my course comparison, he missed the cut. But in the Phoenix Open in 2019, he tied 4th, and the year before that, he was tied 2nd. It's hard not to throw somebody in there that has that good of course history.
Right.
I think he'll play well here. I don't think he gets you the top 10. I don't think he gets you top 15. But he might get you a top 20, maybe. Just to mention, another mention I have was Nick Taylor. I'm big on Nick Taylor.
You're high on him.
He's won me some money these last few weeks, and I like it. He's 8,100, but he scares me this week. It's like build, drop.
Yeah.
In the Phoenix Open in 2020, he was tied 49th. The year before that, he missed the cut. The year before that, tied 52nd. Not fantastic course history, but I think Nick Taylor's playing pretty good golf right now, in my opinion. He seems to play really well the first 3 days, and the fourth day seems to kind of drop off. That PGA West this year, he was tied 47th. I could see Nick Taylor getting you a top 30 finish. He's 8,100. So, like Todd and I mentioned before in practice episodes, when you get down to, like, Nick Taylor, the 8,100, then if you just throw him in, and let's say he gets you a top 30 finish, but then you have, like, three tier A guys on that team because Nick Taylor is so cheap, and you got three tier guys that are all top 10 or top 5, then Nick Taylor was a blessing in that lineup. Because for him to sneak out a top 30, and then you get all these other guys that are hopefully, if you're picking that cheap, they're in the top 20, top 15, you're golden. You're going to win money that week. But two other guys that I have, I got so many tier C guys.
Yeah, you are heavy in this.
I like the underdogs. It's fun to me. Another guy who's bottom of the barrel, $8,000, Keith Mitchell. Keith Mitchell in Phoenix Open in 2020. He was tied 16th, and he's playing good golf right now.
Very good on Bermuda greens.
Exactly. At the Sony Open this year, he tied 14th, and he was a tier D guy that week. And they're still not giving him the respect that he needs. but he loves Bermuda. I guarantee, we did say earlier, this is a different kind of Bermuda. It's that dwarf grass.
Right.
But to be specific, it's TIFF dwarf grass. But so it's more like a bent, but it is Bermuda. And Keith Mitchell has good course history here. I could definitely see Keith Mitchell sneaking you a top 20. And he's $8,000. I think the ownership on him would be below 2%. And that would be huge. Top 20, 2% ownership, you're flying up on the leaderboard.
Yeah, every par, every birdie, you're just...
Oh, you're just passing everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, one guy that I have is my last guy. I'm on tier C. 8,400. I got a curse with him. And he's on one of our snippets on our social media.
Russell Knox.
Russell Knox. I'm a big Russell Knox fan. He's not one of my boys. Because I haven't... Because
every time you bet on him, he
every
misses
time
a
I
cut
bet on him, he does terrible. And every time I say he's going to do well and I don't bet on him, then he does great. It's ridiculous. But Phoenix Open in 2020, he was tied 16th. The year before that, he was tied 10th. And this year, he at the PGA West, again, my course comparison, the American Express. If you haven't got that by now, the year is lost. he was tied 16th this year, this week at PGA, not this week, this year at PGA West comparison. Now, one more little tidbit I have on Russell Knox, something that I think, in my opinion, is a pattern, but I can't just tell you a pattern, really. if you look at his history, he has a very good history at playing amazing, and then the following week, he'll miss the cut. He's very consistent doing that. He's super consistent on just playing. Like, I'm talking top 20, and the next week, it's 110th.
Oh.
Like, it's bad.
Byung-hun Ahn kind of
yes,
guy.
But the reason I'm even more confident about it is because my course comparison, PGA West, he was tied 16th. The week after that, which was Torrey Pines, he missed the cut.
So that golf course doesn't set up for him at all.
No. So if you look at my course comparison and you look at the Russell Knox pattern, he plays great, then he'll miss the cut, then he'll play great. He should play great this week.
Just stick with the trend.
Yeah. He's going to break the pattern, I swear. But if you follow his pattern and you look at my course comparison and Russell Knox's course history here, Russell Knox is gearing up for a top 10 finish. He's 8,400. His ownership is going to be below 5% for sure. He's on almost all of my lineups this week.
Wow.
I'm pumped about it. Russell Knox, I know we're from Knoxville, and we do this filming here in Knoxville together. I wonder if Russell Knox ever heard of Knoxville, like Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And if not, I'm going to call him. I'm going to tell him.
You have a town named after you, sir.
Yeah, because I have his phone number and everything, of course. No. That's all I got for Tier C. You said you're done with that.
Yep.
I kind of been stealing the show in the last 20 minutes.
It's all good. So I guess I'll just go ahead and start with Tier D.
Yeah, 7,900 to 7,000.
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean,
I got three guys in Tier D.
It gets real chalky down here.
Oh, it's slim picking down
here.
Yeah,
I mean.
This is like, if you pick a Tier D guy, then almost your whole team is Tier A and Tier B, for sure.
From there on out, yeah. For sure.
I think I have a sneaky pick in Tier D.
So I've got the two guys that I'm really just kind of throwing out there, and then one guy that really interested me, he was kind of the last person I looked at, was Padraic Harrington.
Don't even know who it is.
You don't know who Padraic Harrington is?
No.
Three-time major champion, you don't know? He in all the, like, all of his interviews, he goes, well, I played really good today,
Harrington sounds super familiar, but if you threw Padraic in it, that just threw me off.
He's the guy that I said before kind of is doing what, or he did what Jordan Spieth is currently doing.
Okay.
He won those three majors. He tried to start chasing distance, and you just never heard about him really ever again.
All the golf fans just heard me say, I don't know who Padraic is, and they're like, I'm not listening.
Yeah, they just click off.
This guy's an idiot.
But he finished tied for sixth last week.
Wow.
Over
a Torrey?
No, he was not. He was
Oh, my course, American Express.
No, he was in Dubai.
Oh.
He was on the European Tour.
I was about to say, tied sixth, American Express. You guys better play him.
He finished tied sixth.
In Dubai. Okay.
And then in Abu Dhabi, he finished tied 62nd. So,
okay.
I mean,
not bad.
Guys in this tier, you know, is even more chalky than in Tier C.
I was saying, if you find a Tier D guy that finishes top 20 or top 30, oh, my God. it's below 1% ownership.
Yeah,
for sure.
For sure. But he's got just his stats on tour right now. He's 14th in strokes gained off the tee and 12th in strokes gained approach.
Wow.
I don't know how he has not been talked about and how he's only $7,900.
You gonna put him in a team?
Yeah, you probably.
You should do it.
I'm probably going to put...
Just so you can flex next week when he finishes top 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably throw old Patty in there.
Okay. Before you say your next guy, I'll take one of my guys. Actually, no, that guy's not even worth it. I have two guys this week. I had three, but the more I look at this one guy, he's just not even worth it. I just put him in there because he's played there before.
That's pretty much what these other two guys are for me. Or one of them is...
The two guys that I have, and I'll start off with the local boy, Scott Stallings. Scott Stallings from Knoxville, that's why I call him the local boy. He's a really nice guy. He's had a great off season, in my opinion. We've been watching him over social media and things like that.
He just hadn't really got going yet.
No, he hasn't. But he has decent course history at my course comparison, which makes me kind of think that he might know some of his course. He's played here before.
Right.
He hasn't done well here, but he's played here before. Back in his earlier part of his career, he played better here. But at PGA West, he's done relatively well. And the only other reason I'd throw him in there, because he's 7,400 this week, so I'm like, golly, he's bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
But, which I think, and just, like, I think he's a good, he might be a sneaky pick. Scott Stallings might pull off a top 30 this week. In my opinion, because
he's come out of nowhere.
I've been watching his rounds, and I say bottom of the barrel just because he's not getting the respect he deserves right now, I think. His rounds, I mean, he'll go 5 under and then like 2 over the next day. And if you look at his cut lines, he's only missed a cut by 1 shot the last 2 weeks. I think Scott's, I don't know if it's going to be this tournament or what, but I think he's getting close to gearing up that he's just going to blow up. He might snag a win this year.
Well, I mean, he loves Pebble Beach.
I say he loves Pebble Beach, and the Pro-Am is coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be this week that Scott does it, but I'm confident in him. And he loves bent greens. He loves them. And I could definitely see him doing well. I don't know where to put him. I could see him doing a top 30 finish. I would love if he did better than that. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, $7,400, you're –
I think you're kind of scraping.
Making
down
the
there.
Cut, you're happy, I feel like.
I feel like Scott definitely deserves to be higher than $7,400, but I think he does well this week. Not necessarily. He doesn't do fantastic just based off course history here before, but I think he does well. Watch him listen to this.
That would be hilarious.
He's just going to text me, and he's going to be like, really? Huh. Watch this, top five.
Yeah.
Go ahead with your next guy.
Yeah, so the other two mentions I got, one's Bo Hogue.
Bo Hogue.
Bo Hogue, his last two finishes are T18.
Sounds like a sailor song. Bo Hogue. God.
But yeah, his last two finishes, T18, T16. Do with that what you will. And the other guy is Mark Hubbard.
Mark Hubbard.
Is he the other guy you were going to mention because of how he finished? Because he's got a T9 here last year.
Nope. I got my boy hanging down here. I can't say my boy. He's not my boy. But I was bragging on him a week ago. But is it my turn to pick him?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, you're done?
Yeah.
I still can't pronounce this guy's name, the last name of it. It's Andrew Putnam.
Putnam.
I said it right.
Yeah.
I kept saying Putnam. It's Andrew Putnam.
I think that's Russian.
Yeah, it is. The main reason, he's had some course history here. It's been a minute, but he has some course history. It's okay. But Andrew Putnam, if you look at my course comparison at PGA West, he finished tied 21st this year. And he's had a great course history there in years prior. I could see him playing well this week. I could see him pulling out a top 30. If you get a top 30 out of these tier D guys, my gosh, that's great.
Yeah.
Scott Stallings, he's going to be low ownership. Andrew Putnam, he's going to be lower ownership probably. I mean, Andrew Putnam's $7,300. I mean, he's down there.
There's some people that probably don't even scroll that far.
That's something. Like, nobody even cares about those guys down there. But I think he's going to do well. I could see a top 30. I could see it. You got anything else for tier D?
Nope.
All right. Well, we just brought you all through our tier A through D, which at the end of this, we take care of all of our – we bring in all of our picks together, and then we're going to go over a team or two that we both have made for the week. Now – when you copy my team or his team, then you got to pay us a fee if you win some money. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But
if you would tag us on social media, that would be actually really cool.
Yeah, actually, if you listen to our podcast, you make a team through it, and you end up doing well or doing bad, I guess.
Yeah, whichever. Screenshot it. Put on your story. Out, I guess, yeah. You know.
Put on your story or send it to us, something, tag us, and we can just see how you do. We would just love to see it. We want to see the feedback from all of us. We want to see everybody do well, because obviously our ultimate goal is to win ourselves money and win you all money as well. But, Todd, you got a team ready for us, right?
Yep.
Let's hear it. Let's hear your team.
So I kind of did what we've been – you know, saying everybody else should do, or one way you could build your lineup. I started with Padraic Harrington at $7,900. Okay. And then I went with James Hahn. James Hahn, $8,200, Padraic Harrington, $7,900. Okay. Those two guys give me so much leeway to just go so top heavy.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So literally going all the way up, I've got Max Homa, nice. Gary Woodland.
Nice.
And then Rory McIlroy and JT.
You're going to take Rory.
I'm gonna roll the dice with both
on
of
his
them.
His debut.
And JT. I mean, it's not his debut, but...
Well, JT's got some course history here.
Well, yeah, but he's got some off-the-course stuff going on right now.
He's
so
he's got some slurs going on.
This is definitely a risky team, but...
it could be a big payout.
Very good potential, I think.
That's your team of the week right there.
I think so.
Okay. I got three teams made this week. I had four. I got rid of one of them. My big team this week, I'm very confident in this one. Very confident. I got Ricky Fowler, Ryan Palmer, Russell Knox, Max Homa, John Rahm, and Byung-Hung An. Confident. My only scary part, usually I'd say Russell Knox is my scary part because we got beef right now.
Yeah, but Ben Ann is definitely.
Yeah, he's my scary part.
Yeah,
for sure. He has good course history here, but he's a streaky guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I feel like this week I'm either going to see him go top 10 or I'm going to see him miss the cut. But I'm willing to risk it for this team. I think that's a great team this week. I do have two other teams, and I'll say one more of them. Let me find it right here. So another team that I have that I'm actually pretty confident about is starting off with Daniel Berger, which I really like. I really like him this week. I think like I said earlier, he might win this thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, might.
I don't think anybody would be surprised.
No. I got Daniel Berger, Ricky Fowler, Ryan Palmer, Max Homa, seeing a trend here, and then Byung-Hung An again.
Man, throwing him back in there.
Yes, and then my risky boy of the week, Jordan Spieth.
Ooh.
He's in there. So that is a make-or-break team,
yeah.
Clearly.
You could have three or four of those guys miss
the cut. Oh, 100%. Or I could have all of them finish top 10.
That'd be awesome.
I'll just go ahead and say my last team of the week. Why not? It's Daniel Berger, Ricky Fowler, Ryan Palmer, Max Homa. All four of those guys are in my life.
Yeah,
those
are
super confident. Super. And then my last guy is Webb Simpson and then Andrew Putnam, my tier D guy. I think, like I said, if those five guys I just listed a second ago, if all those guys can get up there in the top 15, and I got Andrew Putnam sneaking in here with like a top 25, oh, it's money. That's golden right there.
Yeah.
I said last week, I finished very well last week. All of my teams, besides one out of the four that I had, finished in the top 1,000. The week before that, I had all of my teams finish in the money. My best team was in the top 100. So, and Todd's got some good history, too, so far. We were very excited for this with everybody. I mean, is there anything you want to add to our teams or anything like that?
No, I don't think so.
That's the thing. So, We're just super excited to be doing this. We're very excited to finally be public with everybody. When you come in to listen, obviously you'll see it on our social media, but you can listen to our podcast on any streaming site. It doesn't have to be what it is. It's really just podcast, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. I mean, pretty much anything you can think of, we're on it.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to listen to any of those, you can go to our website, which we will be launching along with this episode at the same time. You can go to our website and just find it through our social medias. But other than that, I just can't say just how excited we are to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. And we finally started practicing, and now we're in it, and we're finally going public. We hope everybody else is excited. Everybody seems excited on social media. But that's again, don't forget to follow us on social media. We are the Morning Mully. It's morning, and then Mully has an M-U-L-L-I. That's same for Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want to find our website, we're themorningmulligans.com. We're official.com. But other than that, just thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate all the feedback. And if you want to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you can find us, that'd be super appreciative of us. And again, make some teams and tag us. We want to see how you guys do.
Yep.
But again, thank you all. And we hope you all enjoy this episode. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at Wednesday at 6 a.m. as well. Today we went through pretty much everyone that we like. And tomorrow we're going to go through, in case of anybody withdraws, we're going to go through the weather. FanDuel usually adds in a couple players at the end. And we're going to go through the FanDuel Sportsbook matchups, which is usually about 25 matchups. We run through it real quick. This episode is usually around an hour. Tomorrow's episode is going to be probably right at around 30 minutes. We keep it a lot shorter, but it's right to the book, and it's on FanDuel Sportsbook through all the matchups. But we'll get into that tomorrow. But tomorrow, 6 a.m., FanDuel matchups. Tune into that. But other than that, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow.